Exodus chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. This is the reading of God's word. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is stubborn. He refused to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he is going out to the water, and station yourself to meet him on the bank of the Nile. And you shall take in your hand the staff that was turned into a serpent. You shall say to him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to you, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But behold, you have not listened until now. Thus says the Lord, By this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the water that is in the Nile with the staff that is in my hand, and it will be turned to blood. The fish that are in the Nile will die, and the Nile will become foul. And the Egyptians will find difficulty in drinking water from the Nile. Then the Lord said to Moses, Say to Aaron, Take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over the rivers, over their streams, and over their pools, and over all their reservoir of water, that they may become blood. And there will be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and the vessels of stone. So Moses and Aaron did even as the Lord had commanded, and he lifted up the staff and struck the water that was in the Nile, in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the water that was in the Nile was turned to blood. The fish that were in the Nile died, and the Nile became foul, so that the Egyptians could not drink water from the Nile, and the blood was through all the land of Egypt. But the magicians of Egypt did the same with their secret arts, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then Pharaoh turned and went into his house with no concern even for this. So all the Egyptians dug around the Nile for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the Nile. 7 days passed after the Lord had struck the Nile. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. Let our faith grow, and let us grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be more and more like him. Let us be able to imitate him in all things. O Father, we pray that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us, your people, will hear your word and be glad as we hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The judgment of God begins. The 10 plagues are being poured out upon the land of Egypt. And we will see clearly in the last plague, the death of the first sons, these plagues are not just being poured out upon the Egyptian people. Of course, God makes a distinction between the Israelites and the Egyptians, but from the last plague, we see very clearly that all, both the Israelites and the Egyptians, are sinners who deserve the eternal judgment of God, that all are under God's law, under God's curse. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us deserve to receive God's eternal judgment of hell. The only reason that you and I are not going to receive that judgment is that our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we believe and trust, has already received that judgment for us in our places upon that cross. The only way for anyone to escape the judgment of God is to believe in Jesus Christ, to have faith in Jesus Christ. As you know, the 10 plagues in the book of Exodus, they point to the eternal judgment of God, which all sinners deserve to receive. The judgment of God is also for Christians, the salvation of God. And this is something that you must understand. Whenever there is judgment of God, you will also find a salvation of God. As God judges the land of Egypt, God is actually saving his people. The same is true at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus will come to judge this sinful world, but at the same time, he comes to save his people. So not only you see the judgment, you also see the salvation. Now, it depends on whether you are in Christ or not. His coming will be either be judgment or salvation. 10 plagues can be divided into 3 groups of 3 plagues, and the last plague stands alone. So the first group, blood, frogs, and gnats or lice. And the second group, flies, pestilence, and boils. And the third group, hail, locust, and darkness. And the last plague, the death of the first sons. So 3-3-3-1, if you will. The first and the fourth and the seventh. So first plagues in each group. The blood, flies, and hail. In these plagues, we see God telling Moses to go to Pharaoh early in the morning. Only in those three, you will find God telling Moses, go to Pharaoh early in the morning, just like what we read in our passage today. So this phrase that God tells Moses works as a marker of the beginning of the new group. And each group of three, we see the same pattern. In the first two plagues in each group, we see Moses giving Pharaoh a warning about the coming plague, but in the third plague, we see no such warning. And the first group, the first two plagues are imitated by the magicians of the Egypt, but the third they could not imitate. In the second group, in the first and the second plagues, God makes a distinction between the Israelites and the Egyptians, but in the third plague, God does not. In the third group, in the first two plagues, God says that such plague has never been seen before. But in the third, he does not say that. So there's pattern. Keep these things in mind as we look at these 10 plagues for the next few weeks. Now, these 10 plagues can be seen as, first, obviously, the preview of the eternal judgment of God. And that is what it is. It's a typological judgment that God brings to Egypt. But Israel, we have to be careful. God is actually saving. And like I said, in saving, this judgment also applies to them if they do not believe. The last plague, you know, they have to get the blood and put the blood on the doorpost. Even if you're Israelites, if you don't do that, your first son will die too. Just because you're Israelites, it doesn't mean you're okay. You don't have to, you know, put the blood. It also applies to Israelites. It just shows that everybody deserves to die. everybody deserves the judgment of God. But maybe I should say that it is a preview of the eternal judgment of God as God judges the Egyptians. And these 10 plagues can be seen as second. As such, they are the reverse of the creation. The judgment of God is the reverse of the creation. Or if we were to invent a word, we could say decreation. So judgment is decreation. Thus, salvation is sometimes called recreation or new creation. In Genesis 1, in the creation of this world, God brings an order into chaos. Chaos. From formless void and darkness to paradise, the Garden of Eden, perfect order. But in these judgments, you will see the reverse. Going back to formless and void and darkness. Decreation. And these 10 plagues can be seen as third. These plagues, especially the first and the ninth, will show that the Egyptian gods are false gods. There are many Egyptian gods, like sun god and the Nile god. They were considered as the source of life of Egypt. But with first plague, the Nile turning into blood, and the ninth plague, darkness covering the land of Egypt, it will be shown that only God of Israel is the one and true living God. The true source of eternal life. The Egyptians believed Pharaoh as an incarnate god possessing all the powers of the gods of Egypt. Now he will be proven false. Pharaoh points to Satan. And at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, as Jesus judges the world, Satan will be proven false. From the stories of these 10 plagues, we will see a preview of that. The sinful world worships all kinds of idols. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 23. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and prowling creatures. Now you could add to that many, many forms of idols. Paul says, craving, lusting after the world as idolatry. Is worshiping an idol. This shows the ultimate foolishness of the sinners. And this is what we see in Egypt, and this is what we see in the world even now. Pharaoh and all the idols of Egypt, believed by the people of Egypt as the source of life and power, all will be proven false. And through these 10 plagues, the whole world will see who is the true God. That's why we wait. We eagerly wait for that day when Jesus comes back. Because on that day, he will be proven true and all the other things will be proven false. And nobody will mock us on that day. Because everything that we say, they will see that it is true. Ezekiel 29 verse 3, speak and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great monster that lies in the midst of his river, that he has said, my Nile is mine and I myself have made it. This Pharaoh, who said, who is the Lord that I shall obey his voice? He will be judged by his maker, the true God, our God. Verse 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is stubborn. He refused to let the people go. And verse 15, go to Pharaoh in the morning as he is going out to the water and station yourself to meet him on the bank of Nile. And you shall take in your hand the staff that was turned into a serpent. So Pharaoh is the god of the Nile, or is he? We will soon see that he is not. Moses and Aaron brings a charge against Pharaoh, and he is guilty, and the judgment is given. Verses 17 through 19, thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the water that is in the Nile with the staff that is in my hand, and it will be turned to blood. The fish that are in the Nile will die, and the Nile will become foul, and the Egyptian will find difficulty in drinking water from the Nile. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their rivers, over their streams, over their pools, and over all their reservoirs of water, that they may become blood. And there be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. So whatever the container you might have in your home, that water also will turn blood. And in verses 20 and 21, we see Moses and Aaron doing exactly what the Lord has commanded them to do. And even though God uses Moses and Aaron, I hope you see that it is God who is judging. You know, he says, I will strike the water with the staff that is in my hand, God says. Even though the staff was in Aaron's hand. Hear what God is saying. See, Aaron's staff is God's staff. God works through Moses and Aaron, but it is God. It is always God. And you need to see your lives in that way. Yes, God uses us, but it is always God who is doing the work. Without Him working, you and I, we will not work. Now the Nile becomes blood. Can you just picture that? And not only it just becomes blood, the fish that were in the Nile died and the Nile became foul. So you get close and then it stinks. So that the Egyptians could not drink water from the Nile. And the blood was just throughout all the land of Egypt. But, verse 22, but the magicians of Egypt did the same with their secret arts. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them as the Lord had said. It says the magicians, and we already saw this last time, so I'm not going to spend too much time with this, you know, how they do this. It says, through their secret arts. And we talked about what that is. Through a deception, they turned the water in a jar or some kind of container to blood. They brought some little water and they turned into blood with deception. You know, some of these magicians that we see on TV, they're very good. But we know that's deception. We just don't know, you know, what's going on. Think about this. If their magic is true, if their magic is not a deception, then they should be able to turn Nile back to drinking water. No? Why can't they do that? If they could turn water into blood, why not turn blood into water? But no, they cannot do that. Why not? They do not turn the blood into water because they cannot. Through a deception, these magicians do a cheap imitation, a cheap trick. Only God could do true miracles. You know, if Satan is able to do miracles, true miracles, then we're in big trouble. Then what if Jesus' death on the cross and resurrecting from the dead, what if it was Satan's deception? I mean, Satan made it happen. See, we know it's a true miracle, and we know that only God could do it, so we could believe in that. But if Satan could do also true miracle, man, it's going to be confusing. Truly confusing. But that is not so. But look at this Nile. At the time, it was thought to be the source of life. I mean, you learn this from anthropology and all that, you know. Water gives life, so those kind of river is worshipped as a god. And the same happened in Egypt. The Nile was thought to be the source of life, but it now became the river of death. Clearly a picture of God's judgment. Ezekiel chapter 32, verse 2 and 6. Son of man, take up a lamentation over Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say to him, you compare yourself to a young lion of the nations, yet you are like the monster in the seas. And you burst forth in your rivers and muddied the water with your feet and fouled their rivers. I will also make the land drink the discharge of your blood as far as the mountains and the ravines will be full of you. Ezekiel chapter 29, verse 3 to 5, speak and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great monster that lies in the midst of his river, that has said, my Nile is mine, and I myself have made it. I will put hooks in your jaws and make the fish of your rivers cling to your scales, and I will bring you up out of midst of your rivers, and all the fish of your rivers will cling to your scales. I will abandon you to the wilderness, you and all the fish of your rivers. You will fall upon the open field. You will not be brought together or gathered. I have given you for food to the beasts of the earth and to the birds of the sky. Yes, symbolical language, but you understand it describes the judgment in terms of what we are seeing here. Here in our passage, Pharaoh is a symbol of Satan and the Egypt a symbol of this sinful world. What we see is the judgment of God being poured out on the sinners. And as you know, the wage of sin is death. The river of blood, the river of death. The blood is ever flowing, the death is ever flowing, and it is foul. In Old English, it stinketh. Brothers and sisters, do you see in the bloody Nile a picture of this sinful world filled with death? If you look at the history of this world, do you see a river of death flowing? Constantly flowing. You know, that could describe this history in a so many beautiful things or whatever, but it's parade of death. Oh yeah, they could go to hell and boast so much about what they have done. But it's parade of death unless you believe in Jesus Christ. It smells, stinketh. Do you smell? This is what is happening in the world. Nobody wants to see it like that. But that is the true picture. Ever-flowing death. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 1 through 6. Who is this who comes from Edom with garments of glowing color and Bozrah? This one who is majestic in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength. It is I who speak in righteousness, might to save. Why is your apparel red and your garments like the one who treads in the winepress? I've trodden the wine through a trough alone, and from the peoples there was no man with me. I also trod them in my anger and trampled them in my wrath, and their lifeblood is sprinkled on my garments, and I stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance was in my heart, and my year of redemption has come. I looked, and there was no one to help, and I was astonished, and there was no one to uphold. So my own arm brought salvation to me, and my wrath upheld me. I trod down the people in my anger, and made them drunk in my wrath, and I poured out their lifeblood on the earth. The last judgment of God. This person is judging the people, and we ask, why is his garment red? Obviously, you know, all this will happen in a twinkling of an eye. And all the non-believers were thrown into hell right away. But you understand the description. God pouring out their lifeblood all over the earth. Revelation chapter 14, verse 17 through 20. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel, the one who has power over fire, came out from the altar, and he called with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, put in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, because her grapes are ripe. So the angel swung his sickle to the earth and gathered the clusters from the vine of the earth and threw them into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city. The blood came out from the winepress up to the horses' bridles for a distance of 200 miles. again, symbolical language, describing the final judgment of God. Their blood flowing 200 miles. Revelation chapter 16, verse 4, then the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of waters, and they became blood. It's a symbolical language. You're not going to see, you know, this kind of... But understand what this description is telling us. And that last judgment of God is what we are looking at in our passage, though in a typological way. You and I deserve to die for our sins. Yours and my blood should flow like the bloody Nile that we see. Question is, why then you and I, who deserve to receive God's judgment, do not? The answer is Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, in Revelation chapter 22, we see a completely different river than the bloody Nile that we see in our passage. Revelation 22, verse 1, then he showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And Jesus says to you and to me, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Jesus Christ is the true river of life, the true source of the eternal life for us. But because of our sins, Jesus becomes the river of blood, the river of death for you and for me on the cross. Brothers and sisters, do you see it? Do you see the blood of Jesus flowing like a river because of your sins? On that cross, he is receiving the judgment of God for you and for me. It should have been our blood flowing like a river of death, but look, whose blood is flowing instead? And now, because of what Christ has done and accomplished for his people, this blood of the elect, the blood of the sons of God, the blood of the martyrs of God that flow because of the persecution of this sinful world is no longer a picture of God's judgment. Rather, it is the ultimate blessing of God, a participation in the life of Christ, being like Jesus Christ. So no longer, even if my blood is shed in this world, I don't consider that as judgment of God anymore. You have to understand what has been changed because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, who is the river of life, is turned into the river of death on the cross because of our sins. But because of the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that river of death is now turned again into the river of life forever and ever for you and me. Thus, now, the blood of Jesus is our life. As we see God changing water into blood, we are reminded of another story in the New Testament. the wedding at the Cana. There Jesus turns water not into blood, but into wine. No longer judgment, but blessing, eternal blessings of heaven, because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and accomplished for us. You and I, we no longer participate in the judgment of God, but the wedding banquet of God, wedding banquet of heaven. Now eternal joy and eternal life is ours, are ours in Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus Christ, this judgment that we see has nothing to do with us anymore. It's no longer our story, because Jesus received it as his story. This Nile blood, Nile, bloody Nile, in it, you must see what is happening on the cross. God is dying for you. The river of life becomes the river of death for you. So that bloody river from Jesus will be the river of eternal life for us. Verse 21, so all the Egyptians dug around the Nile for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of Nile. Foolish Egyptians. Foolish Egyptians. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. What are they doing, digging around Nile for drinkable water? Jesus says, come to me. I will give you the water of life. These Egyptians, even if they find drinkable water, they will soon die. Forever die. That kind of water cannot save them. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, come to Jesus. He will give you the living water. Revelation chapter 7, verse 16 to the 17. In heaven, they will hunger no longer, nor thirst anymore, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 through 5. Then he showed me a river of water of life, crystal, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of his street, on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of the lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. I really want you to compare the two different pictures. What you see in the bloody Nile and what you see in heaven. Because everybody in this universe, they either belong to one scene or the other. Where do you belong? Revelation 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. Come. Come to Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your judgment is indeed terrifying. These words cannot truly picture how terrifying your judgment will be. We see a glimpse of the terrifying judgment of yours. But we also see how our Lord Jesus Christ received that judgment for us in our places. Even though he was God, he had to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He had to cry out, I am thirsty. Oh Father, even though it is written in not so terrifying language, let us by faith see how terrifying your judgment that our Lord Jesus Christ has received on that cross. Oh Father, we see another picture in your Bible. The wonderful, beautiful, glorious picture of our eternal home. Well, Jesus himself is the living water, or the giver